If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.
Yes, people, it's Ted Lawler, aka Mr. IOTK from If Only They Knew, the UK's number one podcast for young business minds. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at IOTK Podcast to stay in the loop. Today, we have Sam Winsbury, the 21-year-old founder of personal branding agency, Brandly. He helps founders and executives build their personal brands. So if you're looking for a personal branding masterclass, this is the podcast for you. Sam, for those that don't know, could you please explain who you are and a bit more about the work you do as well? Because what I've seen so far, it looks amazing. So I'd be interested to find out just a bit more, and we'll dive into it a bit later on.
Hey, man. Yeah, really appreciate that. So I run an agency called Brandly, and we work with a number of founders and executives and directors across both the UK and the US actually now as well, essentially helping them build up their own personal brand, producing, distributing content for them, and really working with them to craft an online reputation, if you like.
And I guess personal branding is more important than ever, I guess.
Now. Oh, yeah. It's, especially over the last few years, it's become more and more important. I think that's going to continue over the next few years as well. So I don't think it's dying out anytime soon, not by any means.
No, definitely not. We'll dive into all of that a little bit later on. Like I said, I want this to almost be like a personal branding masterclass. So for anyone who's new to it or wants to excel, this will sort of be the place for them to go. But before we dive into that, let's find out what you was like when you was a little bit younger. Because you're how old now? 20, 21?
Yeah, 21, almost 22. About 22.
What was you like when you was younger? Because I'm only 23 myself. So everyone that comes on is really young. So what was you like when you was a bit younger at school? What were your interests? Because I know times changed a lot since obviously we was back in school, but secondary school especially. So what was you interested in at the time?
School, I was massively into sport. You know, it was like the biggest kind of thing for me at the time, and it's still huge for me now. I still play a reasonable level of football. I played rugby and cricket as well whilst I was at school. And that was kind of massive for me. And I think I owe a lot of my kind of personal development to constantly being involved in team sports and, you know, wanting to be better and competing. And I think that's kind of stayed with me. Even from a young age, I kind of had that through sport, had that desire to, you know, constantly improve and be the best and compete. So that's definitely stayed with me. I was actually quite, you know, pretty academic as well. It's interesting. Despite always having been an entrepreneur, I fit the mold of, you know, going into a job in the city quite well. I kind of just got on with my work hard, was quite happy doing long days and just kind of grinding it out, which of course there's an element of that in entrepreneurship as well. But I kind of, I'd like to say I was a reasonably good student, to be honest. I just kind of got on with it, didn't get into too much trouble and just kind of quietly got on with things.
So what was it then that made you want to get into the business entrepreneur world? Like you said, much like myself as well, actually, there's some similarity there. I could have easily just gone into the city, which I did for a while, but I could have easily pursued a 9-to-5 and worked my way up a career ladder. So what was it about this sort of lifestyle that attracted you?
Yeah, I think it's the idea of creating something for yourself really excited me. And that was kind of the initial driver. I think when I would have been coming up to the last couple of years at school, I just started writing psychology blogs, literally had an interest in psychology, and just with a mate started writing psychology blogs. And it was that kind of idea of building something from nothing for yourself that was quite exciting, quite rewarding. And, you know, if you can make a successful career out of it and, you know, make money and have fun and enjoy doing it in the process, then I think who wouldn't want that, you know? So that's kind of where it all started for me, was those blogs in sixth form.
Well, a lot of people ask me how I want to get into business. I want to be an entrepreneur. Where do I start? And I think I was a guest on a podcast yesterday and I was speaking about this. Like, I feel like obviously it's a lot easier if you're going to get involved in business to follow your passion and see if you can monetize your passion or your skills in some way. And I guess those passions sort of stem from when you was a child. Like I said, I was always creating YouTube videos of me playing Call of Duty when I was like 13, 14, whatever it was. And obviously now it's turned into what I do and I'm able to monetize it. So I guess, yeah, would you agree that it's a lot easier to sort of chase your passion if you want to get into the entrepreneur world?
Yeah, I think there's a certain breed of natural entrepreneurs, if you like, that can pretty much make it in anything and just start a business and you know, make it work and get other people to do kind of the skilled stuff, the stuff that you have to be passionate about. But I think for the large majority of people, starting with a passion has to be the way. It's much easier to do it that way. When you're enjoying it anyway, and you do it no matter whether you're successful with it or not, or whether you're making money or not, that helps massively, because you know there's going to be times in entrepreneurship, you all know this well, there's going to be times where it's tough, you know, you're not doing too well, you've got to stick with it, you're not seeing much progress. If you enjoy something and you're doing it anyway, that period is so much more bearable and even enjoyable. So yeah, I think it's massive, is pursuing something that you're passionate about.
There's a quote, isn't it? I'm trying to, as you was talking, I was trying to recall it. A man with a why can bear anyhow. That's it, isn't it? I think. So basically someone someone with sort of a reasoning and a purpose can sort of, like you said, withstand any of the hardships, especially when it comes to being an entrepreneur. There's so many things that can go wrong and often do go wrong. So if you've got that overriding big goal and that passion, you can sort of find your way around it and stick in it a bit longer, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely. And also it rubs off on other people. You know, people can tell if you're actually passionate about something. And from my experience, certainly people would much rather work with someone that's clearly passionate about what they're doing than someone that's just in it for a quick buck, for example. So it'll rub off on other people as well, and people will sense it. So yeah, it's massive.
Let's jump back on track then. So you were saying that you started creating content. Is that right? Was at school or just after school, did you say?
Yeah, it was at school. It was kind of at the start of the A-level year. So sixth form, and had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And my friend didn't either. We just thought, you know, we both have an interest in psychology. It's not something that's offered at our school. I went on to study at uni, and we just thought, you know, let's just write a blog and see what happens. You know, worst comes to worst, we can stick it on our CV. You know, we didn't really have a plan for it at the time. And, you know, the blog itself didn't go anywhere. But I think the experience it gave both of us was huge, and obviously led me on to other entrepreneurial ventures, and was kind of, when I look back, the starting point of it all, if you like, just going out on a whim and writing for the sake of enjoyment.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% right. Like it's quite often the fact that you do one thing and you sort of say, well, I guess this is what I'll be doing forever. And then after a few weeks, a few months, or even like a year or two sometimes, you're like, oh, wow, okay, that was just the first stepping stone to get me to this point. And then that point will be the stepping stone to get to the next. And it's always sort of chopping and changing. And I guess it's sort of why, one of the reasons why people either don't get into being an entrepreneur, or why they fail as an entrepreneur, because they just don't understand that first step isn't necessarily the final step. Like if you start, like you said, start blogging, then it may turn into video content, and then you may become a monetized YouTuber, and then you may become a presenter, and it's just sort of a snowball effect, isn't it, I guess. So how did you go from blogging to what you do now?
Yeah, so through the blogging, it kind of opened my eyes to all sorts of other, basically the world of marketing, if you like. So obviously trying to grow the blog, you read all about these marketing practices, and through that I essentially got into just doing a bit of freelance work. Basically, I was on literally an 18-year-old on a networking app, had a bit of marketing experience, and you know, connected with he's essentially like a life coach, right, and a reasonably successful one. And he actually said to me, this is quite important for any young people listening, he said, I don't normally connect with students because they normally waste my time. Wow. But the fact that you had a psychology blog made me, you know, want to connect with you, because you've taken the time out of, you know, school to actually go the extra mile and do something extra. So that kind of got me enough of an opportunity just to do bits of work for him, even for free to start off with. I just wanted the experience, and that kind of developed over time. I was doing all sorts of bits of marketing, tried and failed to launch kind of a traditional marketing agency, and then was just using LinkedIn really to try and get freelance marketing projects. And it was through that that I stumbled across personal branding. People started actually reaching out to me for help doing a similar thing to what I was doing with their LinkedIn profiles. And that was how the personal branding agency was born. So it was all quite a kind of natural progression, if you like, quite a nice one, obviously with its problems along the way and with its difficulties, but yeah, it progressed quite nicely throughout the course of, you know, the end of school and through university.
That's so important to know though, about what you said there about the life coach sort of saying he wouldn't normally do this with students because they often waste his time. And it's only because you had that body of work there, that portfolio, to sort of show that you are heavily invested into that world. And again, another similarity with what happened to me. I was writing blogs and I had my Instagram page with If Only They Knew. And even when applying for 9-to-5 jobs at the time, they'd always bring up that point of, oh, what is If Only They Knew? And like, they had no idea what it was. And then once I told them it was like a media group I set up and started, it actually gave me a lot more sort of leverage in the conversation, because everything I then said, they always refer back to that. So, okay, he's obviously got the initiative and the proactiveness to start something. So I guess, like you said, it's a great piece of advice for the young people out there, isn't it? To get a side hustle or whatever it may be, just have that portfolio of work on the side, because you never know what it can lead to.
Yeah, definitely. Even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, and that's fine, everyone has to be, if you just want a job, it will go lengths to getting you the job you want. I've spoken to pretty much every business owner I've spoken to or work with has said that they couldn't really give a shit about people's college degrees. They want to see that you've got something, because, you know, everyone's got a degree, not everyone, but so many people have a degree right now. So many people have got, you know, education. People want to see more than that. So even if you are looking for a job, and this kind of brings on to personal branding quite nicely, because that ultimately is what personal branding is, you know, demonstrating that you've got experience and expertise and, you know, a bit of kind of self-starting, if you like, the ability to kind of set something up for yourself.
Yeah,
it goes miles in actually convincing employers or clients that you're worth working with.
Don't worry, we will get onto all the personal branding stuff in a bit. I know you're itching to get onto that. We 100% will get onto it. Just a moment, guys. Don't worry.
I like talking about the story as well. It's fun.
That's it. Literally a few more questions about your journey, and then we'll dive straight into the personal branding masterclass, as I'm going to call it. With uni, you mentioned sort of you was at uni and you had the side hustle in the background, again, similar to me. How much did you feel uni was helping you in terms of the path you was aiming to go down? And how much do you think it's helped you looking back now? My answer to that is it's probably not helped me at all. The only good thing that I got from uni was the fact that I realized how bad it was. And then because of that, I started If Only They Knew. So it sort of swings and roundabouts. I learned absolutely nothing from the course, but it was a good sort of trigger for me to get started in the business world. Yeah, what's your thoughts on uni in general?
Yeah, kind of a few similarities there. I don't really remember an awful lot from the course. I only graduated last summer. To be honest, didn't pay an awful lot of attention to it. Still came out with a fine grade, but, you know, couldn't tell you an awful lot about the stuff I learned now. It was one of the most enjoyable 3 years of my life. It was amazing. And I think one thing it did give me is the social skills and just the ability to build relationships and speak to new people. That wasn't something I was very good at before uni. I was quite kind of introverted at school and didn't, you know, I had quite a close friend group and that was it. I didn't really branch out of that too much. At uni, you're kind of forced to speak to a lot more people and varied groups of people. And I think the social skills that gave me, I'm very thankful for. But yeah, as you said, as a kind of career driver, I wouldn't say it had too much of an effect on where I am now.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. So how did you how quick was the transition from starting up the business and until now, until you're at a successful point where you are now? How quick was that transition? And how have you sort of found that whole period?
Yeah, so if you kind of look at it from the outside, it looks like it almost looks like an overnight success because we launched in August of 2020 and grew pretty rapidly to kind of five-figure months or $10,000-ish a month within about 6 months. Yeah. But there was at least a year or two of kind of doing coaching, consulting, building up experience, trying to grow the agency and not getting too far whilst I was at uni before that. And then obviously the freelance stuff as well before then. So there's 2-3 years of background stuff going into it and gradually building up. And it was, to be honest, it was quite nice having that behind you because it wasn't, the launch didn't feel like, shit, I've suddenly got a business. I kind of eased into it throughout uni and, you know, having the flexibility of uni, I guess it did allow me to kind of build up the consulting side of things that I was doing before. Mm. But then, yeah, came out of uni, launched in August of 2020. And yeah, here we are now with 20 plus clients. So it's been pretty rapid over the last 6 to 9 months.
How did it feel when you first started getting even the first like pound in? Because I know for me, when I started selling merch and sort of making money for If Only They Knew, the first customer, I was like running around my room, like screaming. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like everything's just going to be okay now. Like it just felt so good and relieving to be able to have done that off my own back. So how did it feel for you?
Yeah, it's kind of the proof that you're kind of in an all right space. If you can sell it to one person, you can sell it to other people. So it's huge, that first client or the first couple. And then over time, I think it's important, I think, not to get too high with the highs and too low with the lows. But I think there's definitely an argument for, you know, if you've worked that hard over 2-3 years, if you suddenly start making money or start landing a client, you know, celebrate that. You've put in the work, you deserve it. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating that. People are too afraid, I think, to enjoy things like that. So yeah, it felt great, especially the first kind of 4 or 5 clients were just the buzz you get off it is amazing.
Yeah. And you mentioned hard work there as well. How do you feel about success? Do you think there's an element of luck in there, or is it just pure 100% hard work? Because again, I know from my perspective, there's been a few things. It's like, oh wow, that was a good bit of luck there that helped me sort of get to the next level. Even on like sometimes when I've sort of took my foot off the gas, some lucky opportunities sort of popped up somehow. So yeah, what's your thought on hard work and luck?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think there's more often than not, there is an element of luck, but I'm a big believer that you create your own luck. You know, you put yourself in the position to be lucky. Sure, I've had things that you'd normally class as luck, but I take credit for a lot of them because you have to put yourself in that position to get lucky. I've never met a successful entrepreneur that either hasn't had luck at some point or hasn't worked hard. So both, I think, are really important, but more often than not, what you find is the harder you work, the luckier you get.
No, I agree. And sort of, we've covered your story now, which is good. I think I always say it's really good to sort of understand who someone is now, to look back and sort of work out who they once was, so we can see the transition. But let's move on to personal branding then. Obviously, it's your sort of area of expertise. How important is a personal brand for whether it's a business or just as a person going into even a 9-to-5? Like I mentioned, having that sort of brand I built in the background going into job interviews. How important is a personal brand?
Yeah, it's huge because a personal brand is essentially, you know, how you communicate your expertise, your experience, and essentially how other people see you. You know, it's very close to your reputation online, essentially. And if you don't take control of that, what you'll find is that other people take control of it for you. And suddenly people are seeing you in certain ways. Either people are not noticing you whatsoever, and you're just kind of, you know, a bit of tumbleweed, if you like, and people don't pay as much attention to you as you actually deserve. Or you'll find they actually, you know, craft a personal brand for you, if you like. They almost give you a reputation that you don't necessarily want to have. So it's massive, and I think everyone should be proactive in creating their own and shaping it the way they want. And that's not forging a reputation, right? We're not kind of, this isn't kind of like the Instagram influencers that some of them, they're just completely fake and made up. This is taking the expertise and experience you do actually have and just framing it in the best way possible. I think that's important to note.
Yeah, no, I like that idea as well. Sort of, if you don't claim the personal brand, somebody else will sort of claim it for you in terms of putting that stamp onto you. And I can't remember who said it, but I was listening to one thing before, and this person was saying that it's always the more louder person in particular, like I say, a 9-to-5 in a team, it's mostly the louder and more extrovert person that sort of gets the promotions and stuff like that, because they're the ones saying, look, I'm the best here, blah, 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 I'm this, I'm that, I'm louder, I'm charismatic, whatever it may be. And they're making that personal brand for themselves. So therefore, if anyone else tries to put a stamp on them, it don't work because they've already established who they are. So would you advise that for people, again, in business or sort of the 9-to-5 life, sort of, like you said, really making a bold statement about it all?
Yeah, I think if it suits your personality, then yeah, you know, be bold, be expressive, be open and be loud, if that suits who you are. If you're quite introverted, for example, like myself, personal branding doesn't have to necessarily be all bells and whistles. It can be quite subtle. So you don't kind of have to be someone you're not and pretend to be an extrovert, for example, if you're an introvert. But there are still a number of ways you can do it as an introvert and just draw attention to the work you are doing in a subtler kind of way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's so annoying when, like, and I find it on LinkedIn the most. I know you said you like LinkedIn as a platform, but it's often where I've seen the most fakeness, unfortunately, from people saying, I was on my way to a job interview and I saved a kid who was in a drain, and I got to the job, like the job, the office, and then it turned out that the interviewer was that kid in the drain that I saved. It's just like, just so stupid. And you can tell it's just like a copy paste sort of format. Everyone's saying the same thing, just in a slightly different way, and making it seem like they're the next coming of Christ. And it just, for me, it's just so frustrating, because I always try and keep it as authentic as possible and sort of say what's on my mind. And you sort of referred to it earlier, but how do you combat that as a person, and how do you see through it through someone else as well? I know that's quite a difficult sort of concept to sort of, it's quite technical, isn't it? But have you got any advice for seeing through that and not being that fake person yourself?
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, you can definitely see through it when people are being fake. I think something, you know, you can fake all the LinkedIn posts in the world. You know, you can copy and paste stuff. You can write crap. You can outright lie. But what it's very difficult to fake are relationships and collaborations. So, you know, if you don't have that much of an influence yet, or you're starting out building your personal brand and you want to kind of make an impact but want to keep it authentic and don't want to fake things, as we said, which is the way to go, focus on building relationships and using those to produce content. Like, for example, a podcast collaboration like we're doing, it's very difficult to fake this podcast interview, you know, because and us two have got that relationship now, we know each other, and we can essentially vouch for each other, right? We can verify that I know Ted's not making his shit up, because, you know, I know him. So it's very difficult to fake relationships. So I'd focus on building quality relationships first. And if you can build high quality relationships with kind of existing personal brands, if you like, people with high influence, and through your association with them, you'll start to build up authority and you'll start to build up a reputation yourself.
Is there anything else that people can do that are listening and want to build their personal brand? Anything practical that they can do if they're just sort of starting out, or something they could do perhaps like in a day, like after they've listened to this, go and get set up with the start of their personal brand?
Yeah, document, start creating content, you know, whether it's just, you don't necessarily have to use LinkedIn. You can pick a platform you like. If you're best suited to TikTok or Instagram, you know, use that. Go to where you're going to best be able to create content, whether that's on video or text, and just start producing content around the things that you're learning. If you can get some collaborations, even interview some successful people, you know, anyone can, you don't even have to start a podcast. Anyone can start a podcast now. You don't necessarily even have to have a podcast, just, you know, offer, get in contact with a successful person, build a relationship with them, and then ask if they'll do a 30-minute interview that you can turn into, you know, a couple of pieces of social media content, right? And use that, and use that content to start building up authority. You don't have to have all the answers yourself. You know, you can go to existing personal brands, people with influence already, and get their insight, share their insight, you know, just interview them, turn their thoughts into a few posts and start sharing that. And you'd be surprised how far that goes in actually building up a reputation for yourself.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And one thing I've been using lately on Instagram, like you said, pick the platform that suits you best. And for me, it's Instagram, because you've got the stories on there. And you've also got the reels as well, which seems to be getting a big sort of algorithm boost, if you want to put it that way. And for me, I've been putting out just 10, 20 second clips of me explaining something about manifestation, which is an area that I'm involved in, or something about podcasting or entrepreneur, like being an entrepreneur. So it's just so many different areas that I can jump on and sort of share my bit of advice. And that's really worked for me. So yeah, from my perspective, reels is really good.
Yeah, mate, your approach is quality, the way you've approached it, because you've got a really good balance of giving your own advice and demonstrating that, you know what you're talking about, but where you don't have the expertise, let's say personal branding, for example, you've got the podcast interviewing people that do. You know, I came across you through your interviews with Jack Parsons and Lewis, both like incredibly intelligent people. So you've got that perfect balance of interviewing really credible, essentially people that know their industry inside out, balancing that with the things that you can offer yourself. So that balance is, you know, you smashed it.
Oh, thank you, mate. I really do appreciate that. But you're right in what you're saying in terms of like fill that gap. Like you said just a minute ago before that as well, like if you don't have that knowledge, you find someone who does, and you just sort of piece it all together and present it in a nice package. For me, like you said, it's the podcast. That podcast is my nice little like well done up package that I can say, look, if you're interested in this topic, here you go, provided by me, I also provide this. And then that's sort of my little package that I'm offering.
And if you don't want to do a podcast, do a blog. If you want to do a YouTube channel, do that. You know, play to your strengths, go where you're going to be most effective.
And who for you is doing personal branding the best at the moment? Obviously you mentioned me as number one, but who would be number two, three, four?
Okay, so there's a few that I've got to shout out. One of them is Dennis Yu, who is actually a client, but I can't take credit for all of his personal brand because it was pretty large before we worked together. But a lot of the talk I mentioned about building relationships, how you can't fake relationships, has come from lessons I've learned from him. He says that, you know, you don't actually build your personal brand, other people do. You essentially create an outline for it and they fill it in. And the way he's done that over the years through, you know, essentially bringing other people up, promoting other people, he's got the leverage himself to essentially succeed in anything he wants because he's got such a high quality network. So he'd be up there. There's two guys on LinkedIn I like that I've got to mention, Dan and Lloyd Knowlton. They run a marketing company. And the reason I like them so much is that they're, content is just so different to anyone else's I've ever seen. They create kind of 5-6 minute sketches around marketing that kind of address almost taboos in marketing, if you like, and essentially position their offer really well without actually selling it. And any other video that's 5 minutes on LinkedIn, I probably wouldn't watch it, but theirs I will watch start to finish every single time because they're so high quality. And what that's done over time is that if I see their names in the feed, before I've even seen the post or the topic of the post, I know I'm going to be watching it or reading it. I think that is a sign of a really strong personal brand, is if, you know, they've built that reputation up over time by delivering quality over and over and over again, that instantly when I see their name, I just think, right, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is brilliant.
What are some of the benefits then? Is that because that is, yeah, you're right. That I was just thinking then, that's definitely one. Like if I think of the people that I like, for example, say Russell Brand, I've watched almost all of his videos because I just know, like you said there with your example, you just know they're going to provide some sort of value or high quality. So you're sort of, you're putting your faith into them with every click, I guess, because you, like you said, you don't want to sit there for 5 minutes and think, oh my God, why have I just watched that? What a waste of time. So yeah, if you don't mind, what are some of the key practical benefits of having a personal brand?
Yeah, so thinking from, if you're looking for a job, for example, we'll take that one first. It's, you know, you're walking into the interview with the interviewer already convinced that, you know what you're talking about, you've got experience or you're passionate about this thing and you've got something behind you that separates you from everyone else. If you're a business owner, it's so much easier to sell whatever you have when people are coming onto the calls already convinced of your expertise and your experience. It's amazing for brand awareness if you've got products that, you know, people see the story behind the brand, and it's a lot more effective and a lot easier to do that through a personal brand than a company brand.
Yeah.
If people can kind of see that story behind them and see that the person running the company is really passionate and has this body of work that shows, you know, how passionate they are and the story and the expertise they have, again, that's just going to kind of tip you over the edge to buying the product. If you're looking to hire talent, for example, people want to work with, you know, the best, essentially, bosses in the world, the best CEOs in the world. You can demonstrate that through your personal brand and hire better talent, which is going to take your company further. Same with investors. If you're a startup looking for investment, building this body of work behind your brand just attracts even better investors. There's a stat that I read recently that was 44% of a company's value can be attributed to the CEO reputation. Wow. So that kind of just shows, you know, the level that that personal brand actually influences valuations of companies. So there's so many broad ranging, you know, it comes into commercial, it comes into hiring, it comes into getting investment. So kind of the benefits are endless, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely seems it. And like you said, when you think back of examples of personal brands that you've started following and interacting with, you can really start seeing it in action, right? But you mentioned your you mentioned my podcast a while ago, and it just reminded me of your podcast. Would you first like to tell us a little bit about your podcast and what your plans are with that? And then also, double-ended question, in one of the episodes you mentioned, imagine every post costs £20. Do you mind explaining both of those things, what your podcast is about and the £20 thing? I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, so the podcast started kind of as what I've been mentioning previously, as a way for me to start leveraging a bit of authority by interviewing other people that were more successful. So I started it at the very start of when I was getting into personal branding by interviewing other people in season one, basically, and but using their expertise, keeping it very casual. And then season two, I kind of transitioned to doing really short snippets of kind of 2-3 minute bits of advice around personal branding. And the aim of that really was just to offer something different to pretty much everything else that was out there. I hadn't seen anything like that before. So that was kind of the process with that. There are plans for season three and potentially a few other podcasts coming soon, as we, I think we're, as the company, we're looking to build out a number of podcast media brands that we can essentially use to feature clients, which is quite a nice little strategy we've got going. So there are plans for that, but not actually recording anything for it just yet.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Yeah, it's really exciting. It's something I'm buzzing about, but it's a long-term thing. It's a long work in progress, but we'll get there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And then the £20 post that you mentioned, yeah. So a lot of the content I see on social kind of just looks like a regurgitation, if you like, of something someone else has posted. You know, I can scroll through my LinkedIn feed and my Insta feed, and a lot of the content there, if I just go to Google, I could find 10 blogs saying the exact same thing. So what I was trying to get across by the point I said about making sure, imagine people are paying 20 quid for every post you put out, is going beyond kind of just surface level insights that everyone else is posting and posting something that shows you understand what you're talking about on a deeper level. Show that, you know, you've got expertise that other people don't have. You've got this unique insight that, you know, is worth money, if you like. You wouldn't feel bad about charging people for it. And that just kind of encourages you, as I said, to go beyond the surface level and stand out from the crowd where everyone else is posting surface level stuff. If you go deeper, it's much more memorable. People are going to, you know, take it on board a lot more and remember you and come back to you and ultimately get to that stage where they're seeing your name in the feed and then knowing it's going to be a great post before they've even read it.
No, I love that. That's it's really interesting to sort of keep that in the back of your mind, when you, especially as a content creator yourself. But talking about going deeper, in one of the episodes as well, you talked about the more you create, the more ideas you get. It's sort of about, I guess, being in that zone. Now, people will be laughing here because I always try and intertwine it somehow in the conversation. But what are your thoughts on sort of being on a high vibration and sort of all that spiritual woo-woo stuff that I'm interested in? It is sort of staying in a high frequency, a high positive sort of mindset. Is that something you try to do to stay sort of at your peak, or do you sort of not get too involved in that?
100%. 100%. I love it. If my mum's watching, she'll love this as well. Because a lot of what my mum does for a living is around this. And in the first kind of couple of months of running the agency and the few months before that, I was having a very tough time getting new clients, and everything felt like it was so difficult. It felt like there was a lot of resistance to what I was doing. But then the change that had the single biggest impact on the business, and it was almost like, you know, this was just the one change that made everything fall into place, was working on kind of my mind, my identity, the identity I had for myself, my frequency, how I kind of viewed myself as an entrepreneur, and fixing that kind of everything just didn't suddenly fall into place. It, you know, it happens over time. It took kind of a month of really hard work to get it all in place. But once I sorted that, everything just became so much easier. Suddenly, you're taking sales calls confident that you can deliver for them. You're reaching out to people knowing that you can get result. You're finding the right people to work with. Everything falls into place when you have this, you have your frequency on the right level.
Oh man, I'm so glad you said for a second there. As I was speaking, I thought you was going to say, no, I'm not interested in that, mate. And I was going to have to like awkwardly move on. I'm so glad you agreed there. But it is true though, isn't it? Like if you're like, say, I've got an example for you. Last week, I was feeling down, and I knew I was feeling down, but I was feeding that negativity. I was looking at stupid things on Instagram, you know, like all the madness that comes up, and I was like actively watching it, and I was thinking, oh, this is angering me so much, but I'd continue to watch it. I was just, it was like feeding the little gremlin inside you. And yeah. I noticed that, and everything started going wrong the whole week. I got a brand new car the week before. I was feeling really buzzing. And that week, when everything was going like bad inside my mind, the car broke, something happened with the car, it broke. Something happened with something else as well. Like everything was just going bad, bad, bad. And then on last Friday, I said to myself, right, this is it. I spoke to my business partner, who's my accountability buddy, if you want to put it that way. And I said, right, mate, this is it. He told me, he was like, mate, you're messing up everything we're doing by being on that sort of bad vibration. And that made me feel guilty and even worse for a second. But I said to him, look, okay, it's Friday. I promise tonight I'm going to meditate. Saturday I'm going to refocus, recalibrate, sort everything out. And ever since last Saturday, everything's been going perfect for me. Like everything, all the mad coincidences, synchronicities, everything's been going well for me. So like you said, for anyone listening, make sure you're in that peak mindset and you'll start noticing mad, massive, rapid changes instantly.
Yeah. Where did you first come across that kind of thing? Was there someone that told you about it? Did you find it on YouTube? It's always interesting to see how people come across it.
Yeah, it is. I was a guest on a podcast yesterday, and I was sort of trying to backtrack to figure out where and when it was. Long story short, at one point I was so depressed. I think not last year, the year before, going to a 9-to-5. One day I was standing on the underground. This is a proper long story, really cut short. I was standing on the underground and I was so depressed. I had my toes over the edge of the platform. There was no barriers. And I was sort of standing there. And you know, when you like I said, it's the gremlin. It's not me. It's the gremlin inside of me. It's sort of like stand on the edge, but there was no reason. I weren't going to jump. I weren't going to do anything, but I was just so down. I was just like, I don't even care if I was to just accidentally fall in or whatever. That's how low I stooped. I think, yeah, it must have been 2019. And yeah, walked into work. And like I said, I caught that gremlin. I was like, no, it ain't happening. The gremlin's got hold of me. Whatever it is inside of me just ruined me. And yeah, I started sort of being proactive and fell into Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Russell Brand, all these things that I was sort of listening to before, but weren't taking in. And yeah, sort of, it was slow steps, but that was sort of the action point for me that made me sort of be a bit more proactive with looking into self-development and then over time spirituality.
Yeah, love that, man. Love that. And thank God for it as well.
yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't know where I would have been if I kept feeding that negativity and it would have just got worse and worse. And yeah, it was just, it was getting ridiculous. But here we are now. I'm feeling good. I'm looking good, baby. So it's good. No, I'm joking. But
looking strong.
What do you think? No, it's just fat, mate. It's just fat. but yeah, like I said, it's just sort of positivity, looking forward, looking ahead. For you, looking ahead, what's next for you? Because everything seems to be going quite quick, but really well for you as well. So what's the plan?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of people coming into the business this summer. So hiring our first few, we've had a couple of part-time already. We'll bring in one on full-time and someone else part-time. So that's going to be huge. Kind of
amazing.
My role will be shifting a little bit. And that's something that, you know, I've not experienced before, is managing a team properly. So there'll be challenges there for me, I'm sure. And then the things we're focusing on, really the reasons we're bringing people into the business, is just to up the quality of our delivery as much as possible, you know, try and provide the best quality service we can. I'm a big believer that that's ultimately the most important part of any business, is what you deliver, how you provide for your customers or your clients. So we're putting a lot of work on focusing on that and making sure our service is as good as it could be over the summer.
Oh, that sounds amazing, mate. So how far do you plan ahead? Because it seems like you're quite practical in your steps. You sort of got that overall sort of destination in mind, but it seems like you're focusing on what you can do today, tomorrow, this week. How far ahead do you actually plan?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to look beyond kind of 12 months too closely, especially with what's gone on over the last year or so. It's very hard to know where we're going to be in, you know, 5 years time, for example. And ultimately, I'm a 20, almost 22 year old. Relatively speaking, I don't know an awful lot about life. So it's difficult for me to kind of plan exactly where I want to be in 5-10 years time. I'm sure it will change a lot. So we kind of have a rough end goal and then work very much kind of 6 to 12 months in advance. And yeah, as you said, keep it quite practical. And I'm tend to be quite practical in how I work. So I quite like it that way.
So last couple of questions. Where do you learn from? Do you learn on the job? Do you just learn from sort of what you need to learn from on the day? If something goes wrong, you don't know something, you just sort of figure it out there and then? Or how do you learn as an entrepreneur, as a young entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. I think learning on the job is definitely one of the most powerful ways. I think especially when you start young, you give yourself the time to actually go about and make mistakes, and that's absolutely fine. And as long as you learn from them, it's going to happen. So I think learning on the job, definitely, it's quite exciting doing it that way as well.
Yeah.
But also kind of using people that have been there before. So even a lot of our clients actually kind of serve as mentors, if you like, for me, because typically they are kind of industry leading, have 10, 20 years experience. So they really know what they're doing. So being able to kind of lean into that has been great for me. And I've got a shout out someone else, actually, Joe Binder. He runs his own personal branding agency. He's a couple of years older than me, but the way he has kind of supported me and mentored me, despite us technically being competitors, mm-hmm. has just been unreal. So, wow. You know, having people that are actually willing to offer up their knowledge and their wisdom has been massive. So I think people should definitely make use of that, because people will be willing to share for sure. It's just about finding those people that have been where you are and have got to where you want to go. And then actually asking them, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So making sure you actually build up enough of a relationship to actually be able to ask them for advice is massive.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? People sort of underestimate how nice and giving some people can be, especially those that are miles ahead. All it takes is just one question, one DM, and you could sort of change the whole outcome of your life, isn't it? But final question for you then, what do you want your legacy to be? If you want a legacy at all?
What a question. I think for me, the biggest thing is not getting too caught up in almost trying to be, I'm not sure what the word for it is, but I don't necessarily want to kind of have this long-lasting legacy. I want to, you know, make money and have a successful life doing something that I enjoy, and just kind of enjoying it day to day is a huge thing. I'm big on experience, kind of your experience on this planet being everything. You know, I'm not fussed about luxury goods or whether I'd rather have the best experiences. So I think kind of just having the best experiences day to day, enjoying what you're doing, and if you can profit from it, then fantastic. But do it in a way that's fun, and you know, you're not, you don't take life too seriously. You can relax a bit and have fun. But I don't think that's inconsistent with being successful whatsoever. I think both of them should go hand in hand.
Mate, I love that. And I can't wait. One of the good things about this podcast is where everyone I have on is so young, much like myself. This podcast will still be around in a few years' time. So you can look back and say, oh, wow, like that's amazing. Like I sort of achieved that and I stuck to my values and stuff like that. So that's amazing, mate.
If only they knew, 50-year reunion.
yeah, that's it. Hopefully, anyway. Please, hopefully.
We're 75, sipping on our whiskies.
yeah, that's it. But the thing is, it's possible and it probably will happen. I'm dedicated to If Only They Knew, so we'll find out. But the final thing, the floor is now yours. If you've got a final message or you want to sort of plug all your social medias or anything you're up to at the minute, please go ahead.
Just give it a shot, essentially, is my final message. What, basically, go in with an attitude of what have you got to lose? Chances are not a lot. If you want to keep up with more of what I'm doing, just head to samwinsbury.co.uk. I write quite frequently on there. That's the only thing I've got to plug.
Brilliant. Well, in that case, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so glad to be able to sort of start this series back up again with you on it. So it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, mate.
Thanks, man, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's right. And I'm glad that iced latte has sort of kept me going as well since 12 o'clock. That's amazing. So thank you so much, mate.
If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.